is when I fall in love with you.
That's the Christian McBride Big Band, and that's Melissa Walker singing from an album called The Good Feeling, aptly titled. It's always a good feeling when they're around, and they're around with me, Melissa Walker and Christian McBride. No stranger to WBGO. You're here all the time now.
Yeah, that seems to be the case.
Now that you've been to...
That's not a complaint, is it?
No.
All right.
No.
Just checking.
How many years now? Is it like a couple of years now, right?
This is our, we're going into season 4 of Jazz Night in America.
200 stations.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Wow.
Big. And how many years of Jazz House Kids?
15.
That's just amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
How'd that get started anyway? I mean, were you just talking over breakfast one day and thought,
no, it was Dorothon and it was Gary Walker who said, let's bring Melissa in to do one of your Saturday shows. And, at the time I was performing a lot and I was on Injure Records and doing all of that. But this idea of doing a program for kids, and right when I started to get comfortable, they said, oh, by the way, we don't just want you to perform. We don't just want you to do a set. And I said, well, what does that mean? And they said, well, we've got this big range of kids and they all come with parents. We want to kind of teach them something and bring them into this music a little closer. And I don't know, that notion just really, I was so fearful of that moment. Kids are so brutally honest. They'll snore, they'll sleep, they'll scream, they'll leave. And, so I started to think about, what I love most about this music. And I think it's this communal language that we have that, and at that time, I was just starting to travel, and it just kind of struck me how wherever I went, from musicians and the people, that we were all in one accord. And so that's where, the first Let's Build a Jazz House was built, with this idea of, which is the very first program, that, that there's we're all in here like a family, kind of playing a role, working collectively, and then this family exists in a community, in that community of listeners and clubs. And so before you know it, I don't know if you recall, a good friend of ours, his name is Bill May, used to be the head of the visual and performing arts for Newark
great
Public
photographer.
School. Great photographer, bass player. He happened to be in the audience that day. And he said, listen, I'd like you to do more of those programs. And I said, oh, no. I can't do that. I mean, I almost had laryngitis that day. I mean, every illness under the sun, I thought of in terms of getting out of it. But he brought me into the schools, and one by one, we started to do these Let's Build a Jazz House. And he really kind of showed me from an educational standpoint what was happening. And I got more and more involved and brought in all these great players with me. Ron Blake and Aaron Goldberg and Ollie Jackson joined us a lot. So, and what I was struck with when we went into the schools is that those kids for many of them, had not seen live music. They had not seen the instruments in front of them. They would ask, well, what is that? That's a bass. What's that? That's, the drums. And that really struck me that this rich city, this rich music, these very talented kids, right, but hadn't been exposed to this great music. So it kind of just evolved. But truly, truly had that moment of Gary and Dorothon, WBGO, and that program, I really don't think, 15 years later, 50,000 kids later, I don't think we would be standing here. It really was a moment that was kind of seized and just evolved and grew.
It always takes that, and Christian, you've observed, because I've observed you all around the world, and you go around the world, there are jazz folks all around the world, and everybody, every culture comes to this music differently. Children come to this music who have never heard this music, so they have no prejudices. Mm-hmm. They have no expectations.
Right.
Yes, so when
true.
It hits them, it right. hits them wonderfully
that's right.
new.
Yes.
Yeah.
Without baggage.
Yeah. So, Christian, you are playing this week. Tell me how many gigs you're playing.
I have a duet performance with my dear friend Diane Reeves. I also am doing the Ellen Dizzy 100 Centennial Celebration with my big band, along with Gregory Porter, Liz Wright, Valerie Simpson, Regina Carter. And for the Dizzy segment, we're going to have Randy Brecker and Sean Jones as the guest trumpeters. Forgive me. It's like,
well, one-on-one with Diane is Friday, and
yes.
the grand finale of the festival
yes.
this year is the Centennial Blowout for Ella and Dizzy.
Yeah.
And Melissa, are you on this festival?
I am not, but I will be there.
Even though your husband is the artistic director or whatever?
See, why has he got to go
you
there?
You know, exactly.
Okay.
He puts me on many of his shows, but you know.
Yeah, yes. Well, you're on my show, so
yes, thank you.
So, and Kristen brought along a bass that you got from Ray Brown.
Speaking,
yes,
of,
one of your idols and mentors, and
yep, Papa
and,
Ray.
And you're gonna play, so let's have it.
You got it.
Just in time, you found me just in time. Before you came, you know my day was running low, and I was lost. Oh, you know the losing dice, well, they were tossed. And my bridges all were crossed. No, nowhere to go. But baby, now you're here. And now I know just where I'm going, 'cause there'll be no doubt or fear. Oh, 'cause you know I'm on my way. 'Cause you came just in time. You changed that lovely time. Sweet do 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 do. Just in time. You know you came just in time. When you came that time was running low. And I was lost. Oh, the losing dice, well, baby, they were tossed. And my bridges all were crossed. Nowhere to go. But now. But now I know just where, oh baby, just where I'm going. 'Cause there'll be no doubt or fear. 'Cause you know, with you, I'm on my way. 'Cause you came just in time. You found me just in time. That lovely day. 'Cause you came just in, just in, just in, just in, just, just, just. 'cause you came just in time. You found me just in time.
Christian McBride and Melissa Walker at and on WBGO. Melissa, how do people get in touch with the Jazz House Kids?
They check us out online at jazzhousekids.org. We're all there. They can always give us a call at 973-744-2273.
And indeed, Jazz Night is this week. This week you're going to be on WBGO, and you're going to be up the street. And if
yeah, just hang out in downtown Newark. You'll see me walking around
everywhere.
At some point.
Everywhere. Yeah. I mean. So that all these concerts are happening right up the street at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center. And we'll have more with Melissa and Christian forthcoming. That's Melissa Walker, and that's from an album called In the Middle of It All. And that's the song Invitation, and the playing bass and the arranger, Christian McBride. They're amongst us, or me, I guess, Christian and Melissa on WBGO. And do you have any gigs upcoming, Melissa?
I must say I don't at the moment.
You're busy with the Jazz House.
Yeah, at the moment I am.
And that's a gig.
Yeah, that's a big gig.
It's a hardcore gig.
And Christian, you're everywhere.
We're starting to hear that line a lot with you.
Yeah.
No, I've heard you with I don't know how many different people playing all around the world at festivals everywhere, and always wonderfully. And I've always been curious, because you're going to be doing it again in just a while, what's the difference, really, when you're playing bass with say Sonny Rollins or Roy Hargrove, who you were playing with the first time I ever heard you live, or with a singer? How different is it to play the bass for a singer or an instrumentalist, or is it any different for any of them?
Well, there's obviously certain parameters or there's room for different types of expression, but the general role of what I do never changes, be it with the vocalist, be it with Roy or with Sonny Rollins. I'm there to be the best support player that I can be. The bass is supposed to support the rhythm. Bass is supposed to support the harmony and really make sure the soloist or the singer gets the red carpet treatment that they can have. Now, obviously, when you start talking about relationships, when I play with Roy Hargrove, you know, he's been my friend for 30 years. So, you know, we can express ourselves to each other in a way I wouldn't dare express myself with Sonny Rollins, you know. with Melissa, my role would be the same behind her as it would be behind Diane or Dee Dee Bridgewater or Kurt Elling or Gregory Porter, whoever it is. You know, I'm there to make sure that she has a red carpet to sing on, you know.
Sometimes that red carpet is you're pushing the person on that red carpet. And
it depends.
Sometimes it's just following.
It depends. Yeah, yeah.
What do they want?
Yeah, it all depends on what they're doing. It's a judgment call. You know, I always tell young musicians that, you know, when you're in the heat of a performance, sometimes you will make a judgment call. Sometimes it'll be right. Sometimes it won't be.
And, you know, you have to teach, and you can't teach. You have to learn it in the
That's
heat.
Right.
In the heat, you
That's
learn
right.
that some singers, some players, they don't want to play on the bar lines. And
that's right.
Sometimes what makes it more exciting somehow.
Exactly right.
So you're all playing forward,
yep.
But at different sometimes.
Just got to pay attention. You got to pay attention, and it's okay to ask questions. You know, like after the set is over, like, hey, you know, was it cool what what I did there? You know, is that something like what you want? You know, so all of those things come into play.
And you're playing a bass of Ray Brown that some might argue is the greatest bass player of all time in our music, certainly. Yeah. And what did you learn from him? Because you played in the Super Bass along with you and yes. John Clayton in that trio.
I learned a lot from Ray Brown, obviously. He never took Ray was always going forward, you know. I'm not sure people that played with him wanted him to go forward all the time because, you know, Ray was always sort of he wound up being sort of the de facto leader. Every band wound up revolving around him, not because he said so, but just because he played that way. His playing was just so strong. You thought to yourself, okay, obviously we're all leaning on him. You know, if somebody wanted to go somewhere else, if Ray didn't follow you, well, you hoped Ray would follow you, but if he didn't, you had to go with him. And I think there were a lot of players like that. I think Art Blakey was like that. You were going to go with him no matter what, you know, and that's cool.
And yet he was playing with Oscar Peterson all those years, the most spectacular piano player since Art Tatum.
Oh, man, you talk about Zeus and Prometheus in the same band.
Yeah. And you not only have Ray Brown in your DNA musically, but James Brown also.
Yes.
And does James Brown show up unexpectedly from time to time, no matter what music you're playing?
Well, that's why I fell in love with Ray Brown's playing so much, because the first time I ever heard him play live, which was at the Blue Note, his beat was so forceful. It was so powerful. It was almost lifting me out of my seat, you know, that sort of that propulsion, that locomotion, you know, that it felt like James Brown to me, you know, that's that same kind of powerful drive and that same kind of powerful rhythm. That's when I realized that it is okay if a jazz bassist, well, that a jazz bassist can play with that same sort of R&B propulsion, that same sort of rhythmic intensity.
Juggernaut, I think, is a good word for it.
Yes.
So, Melissa, who's in your DNA?
Well, you know, I had the real honor to go on tour with Ray Brown for his 75th, and I do recall walking on stage and being, you know, it was a long stage. We were in France, and he was way at the other end, and you could literally feel the floor move. And I remember walking out and saying, it was like this awakening. I had never really experienced that before. Hadn't played with Christian, but hadn't experienced that before, this intensity that he's really talking about. And I'll tell you, even when I did duets, and it was Hank Jones was on that tour, even when he wasn't playing, he was in charge. and so, whoever we were playing with. So that was really a moment. But in my DNA, you know, started with some of the real great songstress who took care of the lyric. And for me, that was Billie Holiday, and that was Carmen McRae. And then, you know, Dinah Washington. I love the sassiness that those singers put into the music. And again, I think that's kind of why, you know, that might be kind of part of the kindred spirit that Christian and I have, that there is fun to be had in this music, and those singers really kind of got to it. And then, you know, when I found Sarah Vaughan, you know, just that voice, that quality, which is why I love sitting in the audience of, say, Diane Reeves, this voice that just felt that it could go absolutely anywhere. So, you know, I think those singers that really take care of the lyric, I've adored, and I stand on their shoulders. And then, you know, getting to stay, hang out very often with Abby Lincoln and Betty Carter, who, you know, Betty could take a song so slow. You know, I would forget the lyric by the time she'd moved to the next one. You know, so also kind of growing and spending a lot of time in Washington, D.C., with Shirley Horn. I mean, these singers, when they left, thankfully they left us with this amazing book of their music. But I guess the richness of their life and what came out is singularly never to be repeated. So I am so thrilled that I was around to sit with Shirley Horn and Abby Lincoln and and Carmen and Sarah, you know, I got to spend a little bit of time with these singers because they'll never come again. You know, they are singular women in jazz. And so I think the one I really missed that I didn't go see was Nina Simone. But I really got to spend a lot of time with these great singers and just see how they grabbed, I guess, in the way Ray grabbed the propulsion and the rhythm, how they grabbed this music and just, you know, just took everything out of it. And so I around in a good time, I think, because it was the end of an era, and I'm glad that I was around to witness it and feel it and get to sit in their audience and know them a little bit.
And I have to say it's because of Ray Brown that I pay attention to vocalists, you know, because as a young instrumentalist, we're all trying to learn learn standards. Well, how do you do that? Whose version do you listen to? Do you listen to Charlie Parker's version? Do you listen to Dexter Gordon's version, Miles Davis's version? Ray Brown said, no, you way off, kid. You know, listen to a vocalist. You know, you got to listen to Ella or Sinatra or Nat King Cole. Or when I met Melissa, you know, she really loves Carmen. You know, I think Carmen for you is almost like my James Brown in a way, you know. So really paying attention to Carmen, it started hitting me like a ton of bricks. So, you know, I'm not sure I'll ever listen to an instrumentalist again first. I'll listen to a vocalist first and then listen to an instrumentalist.
You knew that Lester Young, you knew that Dexter Gordon, when they were playing those ballads,
they knew the
hear
lyrics.
The lyrics
that's
in their head as they
right.
were playing.
Yep.
Yeah, it's all about it. And the storytelling, I mean, that was Billy and that was Carmen, certainly. Yeah. And as I've always said, Carmen, her voice singing was her speaking voice,
yes,
musicalized.
Yes, yeah, yes.
I mean, it's just, they're the same. It's a continuum, and it's wonderful. Christian McBride is going to be playing one-on-one with Diane Reeves. That's going to be a Friday evening 7:30 concert at the NJ Pack. And then the grand finale of this year's T.D. Moody Jazz Fest is going to be Christian's big band backing a grand variety of wonderful guests to celebrate the grandness of Dizzy Gillespie and Ella Fitzgerald. But in the meantime, Christian and Melissa both here. And how often do you sing and play at home?
Well, there's always something going on at home.
Yeah, I mean, we get two bars here, four bars
yep.
there.
Yeah. And I also, you know, I think because of Jazz House Kids and all of our students, there's just this constant flow of music. I also got to say that I really enjoy being able to sing with in some of the bands with the students as well. I mean, as they kind of move through this. So I think, you know, there's always a rich musical home, either at the Jazz House or in our house. That's always something going on.
Well, they brought the house to the house of Jazz 88. And what are you going to do next? Do something, please.
Okay. Well, yeah. Just one of those things?
Yeah.
Cool. See what we can come up with.
It was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then rings, just one of those things. And it was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, a trip to the moon on gossamer wings, just one of those things. But if we thought a bit about the end of it when we started painting the town, we'd have been aware a love affair. It was too hot not to cool down, but goodbye, dear. Amen. Here's hoping we'll see again. It was great fun, but it was just one of those things. Thank you. was just one of those things, just one of those crazy flings, one of those bells that now and then rings, just one of those things. And it was just one of those nights, just one of those fabulous flights, trip to the moon on gossamer wings, just one of those things. And if we thought a bit, the end of it, when we started painting the town, we'd have been aware our love affair, it was too hot not to cool down. So goodbye, dear. Amen. Here's hoping we'll meet again, 'cause it was great fun. 'Cause it was great fun. And it was great fun. But just one of those things. One of those things.
I knew you'd be as much fun as you are, always, when you came in. I talked to Christian about this, I don't know, a couple of months ago.
Yeah, it seems to me.
Wanting to do this.
Ooh, that was
fast. But you know what was fun? What was just as much fun was listening to you in between the takes, because you're trying to figure out where's the F coming and where's, you know, and then I'm going to do this. And
sure.
That, I mean, and it's the shorthand of it all, and it's the way the music communicates.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Just little shaping and, you know, putting it together right on the spot.
Well, we'll shape some more in a while.
It's your thing.
Take me there, baby.
Do what you wanna do. Oh, it's your thing. Do what you wanna do. It's your thing. Do what you wanna do. Do what you wanna do. Do what you wanna do.
Dee Dee Bridgewater in a conversation with Christian McBride. It's Their Thing just then on WBEG. Oh, that's from a whole album, Christian, you recorded all duets.
Yes.
Yes, yes. And you're playing duets with Diane Reeves.
That's correct.
Friday evening, one-on-one, part of the TD James Moody Jazz Festival. Then the big band is going to play next Sunday evening, celebrating Ella Fitzgerald and Dizzy Gillespie. And it's going to be great fun at NJ Pack. And how much of this were you involved in the Jazz Fest this year?
I'm as artistic director, I pretty much curate pretty much all of it.
So you have to go through this whole thing of who can sell tickets, but who's great as an artist.
Well, that
or is the other way around? Who's great as an artist first?
That's,
and who can sell tickets?
I'm more concerned. I think as artistic director, that's not necessarily my job to worry about who sells tickets. That's the marketing department.
Okay.
You know, but I mean, obviously in the back of my head, I do want to have somebody who has some name value, who could bring some hinds in the seats.
But you also like to bring new voices, shall we speak, to the table.
Yeah.
In all of the work that you do, if it's in L.A. or wherever, I've noticed that it's really important to you, the integrity of the show, and that there are new voices you want to bring to the table.
I think there's a duty to create new stars. You know, I want to make sure that we actually practice what we preach. You know, when we say jazz is a living art form, but then you go to most jazz venues around the world and you see pictures all over the wall of people who have been passed away for many, many years. So I'm all about celebrating. I think there needs to be a balance between celebrating those who are alive and those who have passed on and left us the mantle, you know? So I try to make sure I'm balanced.
It's the great thing about this music. I don't know how many times all of us on WBGO have gotten a phone call like, that was really cool. What was that? It's an album called Kind of Blue by Miles Davis. Is that new?
Right.
And the answer is yes. Always is and will be.
Apparently it's new to that person who heard it.
Exactly.
So that's a good thing.
And that's the beauty of this music. When did you decide, and it's a big decision, to have a big band?
I don't know if I decided to have a big band.
You've been working at it in your head for years.
Yeah, I was much more interested in learning how to be a good arranger. So in the early 90s, I played, I'm sure you remember this band. It was a group called the Jazz Futures.
Yes, yes.
With Roy Hargrove and Antonio Hart, Benny Green, Carl Allen. I can say this because Carl's my big brother. He was more of a jazz present than a jazz future, meaning he was older than us.
Yes, yes, yes. I went to India with him, so I know what you're talking about.
I love you, Carl. Mark Whitfield, Marlon Jordan, and Tim Warfield. So anyway, in that band, I did some arranging. And it was fascinating to learn how to make four horns harmonize and listening to Oliver Nelson records and Quincy Jones records and figuring out how to make all of these different voices work together. So in 1995, Wynton Marsalis commissioned me to write something for the Jazz Lincoln Center Orchestra. And I had no experience writing for big band. And that was my... You know, that was me being thrown into the deep end of the pool, and I had to sink or swim, you know, my maiden voyage. So after that, I just started slowly building up all this big band material. And 5 years later, I got my first gig down at Pace University. Jack Klansinger booked me for a big band gig, and that really... That's kind of where it began in 2000. And then 2011, we recorded The Good Feeling.
And did you have to woodshed at some point of going back and listening to Jack the Bear and Jimmy Blanton, how he could do that with a string bass? There were no pickups, really. There was no electronics back then with Duke Ellington.
Yeah.
And yet his bass thunders out of that band.
Well, if you look at the history of jazz bass, the evolution of jazz bass, Ellington is as much of a part of it as any bass player because Ellington understood the power of the string bass as opposed to the tuba. And when Ellington would record his band as far back as the early 30s, you see photos of it. Actually, I think there's a video short somewhere of Ellington in the studio. He always put the bass in front. So the bass was actually standing out in front of the band. The bassist was the closest to the microphone because, you know, obviously there was no, wasn't stereo, multi-tracking, any of that stuff. It was just like one mic over the whole band. And Duke Ellington would say, get out there so they could feel the pulse when they hear the record, you know. So Ellington knew what he was doing by putting Jimmy Blanton up in, out in front like that.
Let's hear the pulse of the Christian McBride Big Band. There's a new album called Bringing In. What about Mr. Bojangles that you want to sing, Melissa?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's an odd song, and Jerry Jeff Walker. It's not about Bill Robinson.
Right.
It's about some guy who was in jail with him.
That's right.
And yet, you've turned this into as if it were meant to be a jazz song.
Yeah. You know, Michael, that's been something that I've always loved doing in my records, you know, from Miss Otis Regrets and Gary Bartz and that collaboration. I love picking up these songs either in the jazz canon or not, but kind of really giving another look at it and something really fresh. And at that time when I had my small group, I was working with my musical director was Clarence Penn, the drummer Clarence Penn. And I'd asked him if he would, and he did a lot of arranging for me, and I asked if he would really put something special together for Mr. Bojangles, and we were going to be out on tour. And, you know, he really didn't, he sat on it for a long time. He said, what am I going to do with this thing? And, you know, he put something together. We put it on my record in the middle of it all. And then I just love that song. You know, we all grew up with that song. Many of us just, we know that song and that story. And so when, you know, we were looking at material for the big band and the last record, you know, Christian said, let me do something really special with the big band. And again, you know, that front, you know, with the dancing, even though it's not about the dancer, you feel it dancing. You feel it in the brushwork. You feel it in Christian's playing. And so... It's just, you know, really one of the kind of highlights for me is bringing that to life. And so I think Clarence and then Christian really did that. And wherever we play it, you know, you just feel like dancing. And it brings us back to where this music really began, which is this feeling of dance. And it's an awesome story, right?
Do you remember the occasion for which I wrote that arrangement? It actually wasn't for the recording.
Well, no.
It was for a concert at NJ Pack.
That's right. That's right, where you had all those great singers. That's true.
Yeah.
That was the first time. That was its debut.
That was its debut, and we liked it so much. We said, let's keep this.
Yeah.
Well, good that you kept it. Here's Melissa Walker bringing it with the Christian McBride Big Band on WBGO.
Silver hair, a ragged shirt and baggy pants. He would do the old soft shoe.
Mr. Bojangles. That's from Bringing It. And that's a new album from the Christian McBride Big Band. And that's Melissa Walker singing. There's going to be plenty of singing with the Big Band a week from tonight. The James Moody Jazz Fest, TD Jazz Fest, grand finale is a centennial celebration of Ella Fitzgerald and Dizzy Gillespie. Gregory Porter, Liz Wright, Regina Carter, Valerie Simpson, Randy Brecker, Sean Jones, and the Big Band. They're all going to be together. And Christian is together with Melissa Walker with me this day on WBGO. And good to have you. Are you ever jealous of a bass because you know you must have embraced a bass at some point and played it? Because when you hold a bass in your arms and you play it, that sound is intimate. I've never experienced anything like that quite in my musical life, is holding a bass and for the first time going like, whoa.
It's a great feeling.
I do think there was a time when we first got together that I was a little jealous. I didn't actually. I'm thinking of that wonderful thing you have on the side of your face. And my comment to you.
That's a great story. So, you know, these bass, we bass players use these bibs, you know, to protect the side of the bass from getting destroyed by your belt buckle.
Right.
So, Ron Carter uses them. Ray Brown had them. So, but this, I had a loose one laying on my table.
Yeah. Kitchen table.
Yeah, so Melissa thought it was a bra. So she said, you're disgusting. How could you just leave this out like that? What are you talking about? It's like, you're leaving another woman's bra right here. I said, that's not a bra. It's a bass bib.
She went, a bass bib.
Oh. I said, see, look at it.
So I guess in some ways, maybe early on, I was a little jealous of the bass.
Yes, but I'm betting there are times when he's going out the door and you suddenly, Christian, you forgot your bass bra.
You're right.
Yeah.
Do us a song, please, again.
Yeah. Take something from the Antonio Carlos Jobim songbook.
Excellent.
I must have seemed when he told me he loved me, and how unmoved and cold I must have seemed when he told me so sincerely, and why he must have asked, did I just turn and stare in icy silence? But what was I to say?
What can one say when the love affair is over? But now he's gone away, and I'm alone with the memory of that last look. And it was vague, and it was drawn, and it was sad. Oh yes, I see it still, all that love in that last look. And how he must have asked, could I just turn and stare in icy silence? But what was I to do? Tell me, what can one do when the love affair is over? Insensitive I must have seemed when he told me he loved me, and how unmoved and cold I must have seemed when he told me, oh so sincerely, how he must have asked, did I just turn and stare in icy silence? But tell me, what was I to say? What can one say when the love affair, you know it's over? Oh, when it's over, tell me, what can one say when the love affair is over? It's over. Tell me, what can one do? What can you say? What can you do? What can you say? What can you do when it's over? When it's over.
Cause then you'll see. You'll see me flying. So be what you are. Be what you are. No. Won't you be mine?
That's the Christian McBride Big Band bringing it. That's a new album, and Melissa Walker sings on the album and sings an Yvonne Lean song called Upside Down. And I asked you to sing a Jobene song a while ago because I always remember, I have so many memories of individuals that I have known for years, and there's always one that leaps out. And for Melissa, it's we were at a party at Paquito's house, and after one of those Brenda Feliciano feasts, everybody was sitting around the piano and everything, and all of a sudden from behind me, out came Melissa's voice singing a Jobin song. I always remember that. And Christian, I have so many of you waving the Canadian flag on Canada Day in Montreal and getting nothing
you,
and getting nothing yeah. from the audience.
That's what I heard.
But
you almost stays going, what's the problem?
But still my favorite is at North Sea. It's got to be 25 years ago, more, yeah. maybe 30. And you're playing in one of the little halls in the back of the Congressgebouw, and your band is on stage, and they start whipping up this James Brownian vamp. And you weren't on the stage. You came out strutting and picked up your bass and went right into the groove. Now,
Melissa remembers that too.
You cannot strut and pick up and handle an acoustic bass elegantly or gracefully. And you were neither of those, but it was very cool. I always will remember that, how you did that.
Thank you.
And so thank you for coming by. The big band,
thank
the Christian McBride
us.
Big Band, it's going to be a whole singer's day next Sunday.
That's right.
Because Kevin Mahogany is going to sing at Darthan's Place for the brunch. Mm-hmm. Then comes the annual Sarah Vaughan International Jazz Vocal Competition.
Yes.
First year with a boy singer
there
amongst all those girl singers.
We got to make sure the guys get some. We need some more guy singers out here singing standards.
That's right. And then in the evening, celebrating the centennials of Ella Fitzgerald and Dizzy Gillespie, the Christian McBride Big Band with some pretty good singers, Gregory Porter, Liz Wright, Valerie Simpson, Regina Carter is going to play on the gig, Randy Brecker, Sean Jones joining in a centennial tribute to Ella and to Dizzy, climaxing this year's artistically directed Christian McBride T.D. James Moody Jazz Festival. Say that all in one breath.
I know, right?
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And it's been fun having you. Can I have one more?
Always great to see you, man. It's great to actually play some duets with Melissa officially as opposed
to that's right.
in the living room.
Oh, yes, and I officially will be chastised by Ms. Simon if I don't mention that Jazz Night in America is now on every week on Friday evenings on WBGO.
That's right.
Hosted by Christian McBride.
So I think that's all. It's kind of like a wrap. Thank you for having us.
Yes, indeed.
It's just, so that's all, babe.
I can only give you love that lasts forever and a promise to be there when you call. And the only heart I own for you and you alone. Oh, baby, that's all. That's all. I can only give you country walks in springtime and a hand to hold when leaves, you know, they begin to fall, and a love whose burning light will warm your winter night. That's all. That's all. They would give you the world for a toy. Ooh, but these arms, you know, they will unfold you. And a love love, you know, time can only destroy. Oh, but baby, if you're wondering what I'll ask in return, dear, you know, you'll be glad to know. Oh, you know, my demands, well, they are small. Tell me it's me that you'll adore, for now and evermore. That's all. Yeah, babe, that's all.
That's all. That's good. Melissa Walker and Christian McBride, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Michael.
Thank you.